It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth and I'm joined today in the studio with Special Agent Tony Cox. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
Tony is a special agent with NCIS, and like everyone in America knows who you people are because it's all over the TV. Naval Criminal Investigative Service. But more importantly, Tony's here today in his capacity as an officer of the Hispanic American Police Command Officers Association. Tony, that's a mouthful. And I feel like, you know, just like a good Fed, we're going to call it HAPCOA.
Works for me.
HAPCOA, Hispanic American Police Command Officers Association. Tony's an officer with that association, and it is your maiden voyage on our show, Fed Talk. Welcome.
Thank you.
And, you know, we like here at Fed Talk to bring federal employee associations, give them airtime, get the message out, both give them access to their own members, and for people who are listening who might be interested in your association and joining, we think it's a great opportunity to get the federal employee associations here and try to convince people why it's important to join your association. But before we begin our show, I do need to remind our listeners that our show, Fed Talk, is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance. For more information, visit GEICO's website. It's geico.com. So, Tony, like I said, maiden voyage. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And HAPCOA, that's what we're going to call for the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
HAPCOA is an association that attracts from, I've been on your website, and it attracts more than just federal law enforcement, right?
For the most part. But again, we were established, Deborah, in 1973. We are the oldest and the largest association in the United States of Hispanic American command officers from law enforcement, criminal justice agencies from the city, state, and federal. So we are mainly directed at, again, the command officers. And those.
What does that mean?
On a local police department, it would usually mean lieutenant and or above. So basically your administrators, mid-level and upper-level management.
Okay, and at the federal level?
At the 14, 15 level and 13, but historically 14s and 15s, GS 14s and 15s.
And so HAPCOA was established in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
And for our listeners who have not yet visited your website, what was the impetus for the establishment of the organization? What was it in 1973 that got people together?
Well, during that time frame, there's always been, as you know, a underrepresentation in the federal government of Hispanics. For instance, 2009 census, we have, 310 million Americans in the United States now. And of that 310 million, 50 million are Hispanics. So roughly 16% of our population now is Hispanics. Of course, back in 1973, not that large mm-hmm. of a number. But as it is today, even back then, there was an underrepresentation. There was a feeling of there was no advocacy for Hispanics in law enforcement. So at that time, 1973, a group of Hispanics got together, law enforcement executives, and they developed a charter and developed HAPCOA.
And it's 1973. I can't even do the math, but it's you guys been 27 years?
Even longer than that.
I know. I'm like embarrassed. I'm on the air and trying to count.
No, 37, actually.
It's 37 years. And
yes.
So how far have you come?
We have come a long way. Right now, we have approximately 400 senior-level law enforcement members. But we also have associate members. again, in order to take office or hold office, you have to be a senior level law enforcement member. So we're making strides. I'm very happy with what we have done in over the last 2 to 3 years. More importantly, I'm very happy what my agency, the Naval Criminal Investigative Service, has done in the last 2 or 3 years.
And you and I both know this because I've read the material, I've read your website and getting ready for your show. But if you were to summarize the mission of your association for our listeners, how mm-hmm. would you describe that?
What we want to try to do is empower the future of law enforcement. Quite frankly, we want to recruit, train, and promote qualified Hispanic American men and women. Again, my employer, as does HAPCOA, we believe that this is a strategic imperative, that this is accomplished. And to be quite frank, we feel that this can be done without lowering the standards of federal, state, and local employees, that there are qualified Hispanics out in the community that want a job, mm-hmm. and they should be afforded that opportunity.
And and of course, on your website, you have that mission statement posted.
Yes.
You also have a series of goals that you've set out for the organization. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, some of the goals that we would like accomplished are offering, again, training and educational programs designed to increase recruitment, again, in the federal, local, state agencies of qualified Hispanic Americans. Again, I want to emphasize qualified. Mm-hmm. We mentor young officers already in law enforcement. We promote the development of...
And Tony, let me interrupt you. And the mentoring is, I assume, designed to mentor them into a career path.
Correct.
To matriculate up in the organization.
Exactly. That's what we ultimately want to achieve, as I indicated in our mission statement. We ultimately want more Hispanics within federal law enforcement, but more importantly, we want them to be able to ultimately ascend to those higher ranking mm-hmm. positions.
Mid-level, upper-level management.
Correct.
So one of the goals is to mentor young law enforcement officers.
Correct. We provide guidance and support to police agencies. Again, we're the national spokesman for Hispanic American Police Command officers in matters of common interest. And we formed positive and collaborative partnerships with other law enforcement associations, schools, corporations, for instance, some of the corporations that are our sponsors, and community groups that have a common interest in the betterment of the community and betterment of the Hispanics in general.
And your career is actually... I've read your bio, and mm-hmm. your career path sort of mirrors what the goals are of the association, because you're relatively new to the federal system, aren't you?
Well, I've actually been in the federal government 21 years.
Oh, I think I read that you joined NCIS back...
1989.
Okay.
I was if you want me to go into my background, I can.
And I think people be interested in how you rose through the ranks.
Yes.
Because that's sort of, I get the sense why you've decided... to become a national officer for the association.
Very much so.
Live and breathe it.
I was born and raised in Norfolk, Virginia. I went to Old Dominion University, and I had a desire, even as a young child, to be in law enforcement. So, much to the dismay of my parents, even before I graduated from college, I applied to the Norfolk Police Department, was ultimately accepted, and eventually did graduate from Old Dominion. But I went on the police department in 1982. I was one of the youngest field training officers, so I always had that yearning to mentor. So I was able to do that. I was in a patrol division, ultimately a tactical squad unit, and finally a traffic division. When I was in the tactical squad, I had the occasion of meeting some NIS agents. Back then, we were called the Naval Investigative Service.
That's right.
In 1992, we ultimately became NCIS. But I was able to see that blending of...
And the reason being because Norfolk is a huge naval shipyard.
Yes. Well, actually, the largest naval base in the world,
actually. That's right. I thought it was San Diego, but I'm taking your word for it.
I believe it's Norfolk. I could be wrong,
it's
but
close.
I'm going to bet.
If not, right?
All right. So in any event, I wanted to blend... law enforcement with military, because I always wanted to go in the military too. So what better way? So I ultimately applied, and I was fortunate enough to be hired by NIS at that time in 1989. And I stayed in Norfolk. And within a year, I applied for a special agent afloat position. And what that is we NCIS agents deploy on carrier strike groups. And in essence, you are the sheriff of the ship. You investigate anything from larceny to murders.
Special agent afloat. Now
yes.
I get it.
Yeah. And just like any city, I mean, most of the people, the 5,000 or more.
Law-abiding.
Are law-abiding, but mm-hmm. you always have that real, real small criminal element.
You know, I never, and here I am doing this for a living, I never actually thought about the fact that crime could occur out at sea on one of these ships, which literally are floating cities, and what did they do about it? And now I know they have special agents afloat.
Yes.
How fascinating. We're going to pick up after the break and hear more about your career and what drew you
okay.
to become a member and then an officer of HAPCOA. But we do need to take our first break. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this, if you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to Geico. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with Geico once they've switched. In fact, on average, Geico customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Deborah Roth, and I have with me today Special Agent Tony Cox. He's a special agent with NCIS, but he's really here today in his capacity as a national officer, vice president of the Hispanic American Police Command Officers Association, which is still a mouthful for me. I don't know, Tony. HAPCOA. It's HAPCOA for people who are in the know. And before we took our break, Tony, we were talking about your path.
Okay.
From sort of probably what I think you said, patrolman.
Correct.
In a local police force.
Yes, ma'am.
To special agent with NCIS. And of course, I know because I read your bio, you've moved successfully up the food chain. But you were telling us how you, your first special agent job at, was it NIS at the point?
It was NIS in 1989 when
special
I came
agent afloat.
Yes. So in any event, that was 1990. It was during Desert Storm, Desert Shield, when we were technically at war. So that was unique in itself.
Yeah.
So I deployed on the ship for 6 months. So again, I was able to blend that police officer and military type backgrounds that I wanted. The agent on board the ship reports directly to the executive officer or the CO. So you have essentially unfettered access to the command. And I was treated very well, and it was probably one of my most rewarding, both professionally and personally, of my assignments so far. So after that, let me fast forward. I was transferred to Rota, Spain for 5 years, which was really tough duty. I did some drug suppression operations because what I want to emphasize about NCIS, we wear several different hats. It's just not like you're a patrol officer or a traffic officer. We have our counterterrorism director. We have our counterintelligence director. We have general crimes, cyber fraud mission. We have a multitude of missions. So if you get bored in one area, you can always switch and go to another. So in any event, so I was in Spain for 5 years, followed on tour with in Corpus Christi. And at, during that tour, I became a supervisory special agent. I competed under our management development program. And which is a very, very good program. Again, there's a in-depth selection process, a training process, a mentoring process. Mm. So that was back in 2002. From there, I went to Iraq for 5 months, where I was the personal security advisor to Patrick Nixon in Basra. He was part of the coalition provisional authority mm-hmm. back then. So received rocket attacks, mortar attacks, which in itself, again, was quite interesting. Did that for 5 months with a great team, and then went back to Corpus Christi. I was selected to be the personal security advisor to the Secretary of the Navy at that time.
Had one hell of a career.
Well, thank you. It's been extremely, extremely exciting, extremely interesting. And so I came up to D.C. at that time, worked for the Secretary for a year, and then I was promoted to division chief within the Protective Operations Department. And what essentially what my department is we are kind of the Secret Service of the Department of the Navy. We protect high-risk billets both in the United States and outside the mm-hmm. United States. Mm-hmm. And again, our agency is located in over 40 countries, so with 150 satellite locations. So we have a very large mission.
Wide span.
Yes.
You have a large reach. So at what point did you join HAPCOA, and what for you was the calling?
I know it may sound corny.
It always is, but I love hearing it.
But I wanted to give back. I felt like...
Because you've had really a hell of a career.
Well, thank you. Again, it's hard to believe it's 28 years if you count my city police time. And when I think back, it's just gone so fast. But it's been so exciting. Yes, a lot of fun. But again, I wanted to give back to the community. I felt that... that I was fortunate enough to have a mentor or two within my agency, and I felt the need to want to give back. And again, as we discussed earlier, there's an underrepresentation of Hispanics within law enforcement, particularly. My agency, again, has done a lot better in recent history. Just a few years ago, we were at 5%, and now we're at almost 8%.
And how do you account for that increase?
A concerted effort by my agency.
A recruitment effort?
Most definitely. We feel that our leadership team, which is Director Kluke and Deputy Director Ridley, feel that diversity is a part of our fabric. Mm-hmm. And it's basically part of our DNA. And they have actively pushed for more diversity within our agency across the board. And we're getting it done.
And they do it through outreach, recruitment. I mean, really,
right.
it really is. And actually, right before our show went live today, we talked about sort of the subset of these associations. You know, the whole goal is to increase representation of the minority in the federal workforce, and so the obvious goal is you could get that done through recruitment. And recruitment's tough. You got to be in a lot of places, a lot of, you know, localities. You got to get the word out, convince people why they should come and work for these organizations. And, you know, the federal job, it, particularly law enforcement jobs, most agencies, you're mobile. They move you to different geographic areas. It's a sort of a condition of employment in some places. And so recruitment, and I told you, Tony, I think it'd be interesting to do a recruitment show, because it's one thing to say, oh, we did it through recruitment. It's another to really get into the nitty gritty of how recruiters get out there, get the word out, how they target audiences, because that's how you increase through applications. That's how you increase representation.
Right.
In the workforce. So so I promise you we'll do a recruitment show. That'll be our next show. But NCIS, you're saying, has increased 3%.
And if you look at it in these terms, right now we have about 1,250 agents. So a couple few years back when we only had 5%, say 50, 60, and
right.
Now we're, you know, 80, 90.
Yeah,
so
3%,
I mean, that's pretty significant, I think.
Yeah.
And I attribute it, again, to our agency proactively going out there and seeking more qualified Hispanics.
So when did you join HAPCOA?
I joined HAPCO in about 2000.
In 2000?
Yes.
And you became the national vice president?
I am. I will ascend to the presidency in November of this year.
I did not know that. Congratulations.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. And that will happen in San Antonio, Texas, the 15th to the 19th of November. And then I will have my actual conference in my hometown of Norfolk. And that will be 16 to 20 October 2011.
2011.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the Marriott.
Yeah. This year, HAPCOA has an annual national training conference.
Yes.
And this year, as you said, Tony, it's in San Antonio at the Westin.
Yes.
And it's that people can go on your website if they're interested in going. Can non-members attend the conference? I always ask the associations that.
Yes, they can. There's obviously a nominal fee associated with it, but yes, they could.
So members or non-members, if you're going to join, if you're going to go to the conference, maybe you should consider joining the association.
I would urge them to.
It's November 14th through 19th. It's at the Westin Riverwalk down in San Antonio. And tell us what about your conference. It's a at least a 3-day conference,
right?
And you call it a training conference.
Yes, we do.
Is it training people? Is it training them for improving their careers, or is it training them for like on the job kind of training?
Well, Deborah, during the conference, dozens of presentations, workshops, and training sessions are presented by representatives of federal, state, and local agencies. In addition, our exhibitor and career fair allows the participants to learn about new products, for instance, and services available to law enforcement and the community as well. And basically, again, we're trying to promote opportunities within agencies across the nation that are available to entry, mid, and senior-level law enforcement professionals. So there's a nexus in the training sessions for the law enforcement community, whether it be use of force issues, things of that nature. And you being a lawyer can appreciate that.
Right. So there's when you say nexus, there is training on elements of how they do their job.
Correct.
And there's also training, I imagine, career
leadership, things of that nature.
And can you give us a sneak preview of any of the workshops or who you have highlighted to come and speak?
Well, we are still in the process. If your listening audience would like to go to our HAPCOA website, there is some agenda already established, but it's still a work in progress. But I can assure you it's going to be extremely informative and educational.
And it's it's 3 days.
Yes.
It's a 3-day conference.
Yes.
Down in San Antonio. So you also have on your website a membership page, and it's about who can join, who's eligible, and how they do that. Explain that to our listeners, because there may be people out there who are thinking, well, maybe this is an organization I should consider. What's the membership requirements?
Again, for obviously, we would like folks that are involved in law enforcement, as our name indicates. Again, to hold a national office such as I hold, you have to be mid-level to senior-level management within a law enforcement organization. But you can still be an associate member. Anyone can be an associate member.
Anyone can.
Yes.
But to join HAPCOA, do you have to be connected in law enforcement?
No.
You do not?
No.
So it's people who are interested in the mission and the goals of the association.
Sure.
And who want to show their support.
Exactly.
For what you do. And there's a membership page on the website. Is there, I'm correct, right?
Correct.
And can people sign up online?
Yes, there is a process that you can do that.
And I see, Tony, I know people are listening and they're interested in your membership categories. Your regular category, which is that the one where you have to be in a management position?
No. Again, to hold a
office.
To hold office, yes, you have to be in a management position.
Okay.
But you can be.
So your regular membership category is $100 a year, and then your associate member category is $75 a year, and for supporting members, it's $55 a year. So it seems like a relative, minimal way of showing your support for an association that's out there trying to do good stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's hard to leave a conversation with Representative HAPCOA without asking if HAPCOA has a position on the new Arizona law that's been passed, that's made every news outlet possible, and that the United States, through the Attorney General, have taken them into court. HAPCO have a position?
Yeah, Deborah, you're putting me on the spot. Yes, we do. Our organization does have a position. Our organization is opposed to the Arizona law because they feel that we feel that there could be potential profiling involved. I can tell you this.
That it could lead to profiling.
Yeah. I personally voted against that position. I was probably one of the only few. And
she used to be a local police officer.
Yes. And I feel that if the law is applied correctly across the board,
then without profiling,
right, then there should be no problems, no issues with it. Ironically, though, I had to go to a meeting where the Attorney General, Mr. Holder, was at, and I had to present the HAPCO position as if it was part of my own. And I was able to do that, but again, I have severe reservations about us getting involved in that. I really don't think our mission and our charter involves that. And of course, the law has no real effect on the Department of the Navy or NCIS, I'd like to add.
Right, where you come from. But but for members of your association, mm-hmm, particularly down in Arizona, there is, there's some nexus there between,
correct,
your association and the law. And I know very little. I haven't even read the law, so I shouldn't probably say anything about it. But I think it's really what it comes down to. It's the possibility of it being applied correctly or incorrectly.
Yes. And again, I have the highest, utmost respect for every member of HAPCOA and our national board. And we just differed a little bit on this.
Yeah. But, again, Tony, I think it's hard to avoid, given who your association is. Mm-hmm. It's hard to avoid, even if you want to, really stick to the focus of the mission of your organization, hard to avoid not want people wanting to hear from your association their position on the law. So
exactly.
I do appreciate your position, and we'll see how that plays out in court, because
yes,
the government has taken the state of Arizona into federal court. We need to take our mid-show break, though, Tony.
Okay.
And remind our listeners that you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. When you say that you work for the federal government, many people out there immediately picture you wearing a suit, driving a government-issue sedan, and living in D.C. While that may be true for some, in reality, federal employees have a wider variety of jobs than most people could ever imagine. From postal workers to CIA agents, from working in an office to working in outer space. These jobs are all so different that it's hard to believe they have something in common, but they do. And that similarity is GEICO. As employees of the federal government, many of these people may be eligible for additional discounts on top of GEICO's already low rates. And just because the cost is lower doesn't mean that GEICO's service is anything less than top rate. So whether you're in animal control or air traffic control, call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, and I'm joined in this segment of our show by Carl Kolder, who is the president of the National Association of Black Narcotics Agents. Carl, are you with us?
Yes, I am, and good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, how are you doing?
We're doing good. Are you down?
Good.
You're down at your association's national conference, I understand.
Yes, in Houston, Texas.
In Houston, Texas.
Suites.
It's hot up here. It's hot and humid in D.C., but I imagine that you can top that for us right now. And Carl, I do appreciate your taking your time out of your national conference to join us on our Friday Fed Talk show. And as I told our listeners, this is the National Association of Black Narcotic Agents. And I've heard of you, but I'm not sure all our listeners are. I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of Noble.
Yes.
You guys are different. And
yes.
I thought maybe you could tell our listeners who you guys are, the National Association of Black Narcotic Agents, who you are, how you got started, and how you're different from Noble.
All right. Well, we were actually founded in 1979 by DEA African American Special Agents. And at that time, it was a networking base for those African American agents who were seeking career development, a way to network, because we were very, very spread out throughout the country, and it served as a way to communicate and basically put issues forward that would affect African American special agents in the Drug Enforcement Administration.
And your membership is related, and it's kind of related to Noble, isn't it, Carl?
Yes. And the fact that we're all law enforcement, although Noble is geared to more so state and locals with the partnership with the federal agencies, NABNA is primarily federal law enforcement,
right.
And we've branched out to the state and local arena and in trying to provide training a way to communicate to the community as to what goes on in terms of drug law enforcement.
So NABNA is really for federal agents. It's for black agents who are in the federal community. Noble is a little broader. It also hits state and locals, as I understand. The objectives, I've been on your website, Carl, you should know. I've checked it out.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
So I've read all about the objectives and the goals of your organization. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the same idea of awareness and increasing opportunity for minority black agents to come into federal law enforcement and move up through the ranks, right?
Right.
Tell us more about... If you can you tell us more about the objectives of the association and how the association goes about accomplishing it?
Well, we go about, our primary goal is to provide training and community service. Over the last 15 years, we've donated approximately $90,000 in scholarships to students attending historically black colleges in the United States.
Wow.
So that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And our membership, we're really proud of that. We also teamed up with FIA to provide scholarships for NABNA members and their families. So
FIA, for our listeners, is the
Federal Emergency Federal Employee Emergency Assistance Fund.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you've had FIA assisting your own members.
Exactly.
That's wonderful.
So you know, and with that, and I know we mentioned that we're unlike Noble, but we are now engaged in training international, state, and local members. And those counterparts in the local arena. So we're doing great things to sort of bridge the gap between state and local law enforcement.
And what about recruitment? Is that part of the objectives of the organization?
Yes, and part of that is not only do I serve as DEA's the diversity chairperson, I also engage in recruitment for the students that receive our scholarships. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we do in terms of coordinating with the Drug Enforcement Administration to recruit minorities in law enforcement.
Now, as I had said to our listeners when we brought you on the air, you're down at NABNA's annual conference in Houston.
Yes.
Your conference is a week long, and I've checked out the agenda, and it is just jam-packed.
Yes, it is, and we're proud of it. For the first time, we have the University of Phoenix as our training sponsor, and we had a great agenda this year, and I'm just so happy and pleased with it. That and this is the reason why we're beginning to attract the state and local agencies, the community, mm-hmm. and other federal, state and local officers. So that's our goal.
And Carl, you do the conference once a year, right?
Yes.
Does the location change every time?
Yes, it does. Each year we change locations. We generally go to a location where our membership is pretty high. So next year our conference will be held in New Orleans.
New Orleens, yeah. So mm-hmm. So getting back to your annual conference, it's a 5-day conference. Today's your last
yes.
day. And I really am quite impressed with the amount of classes, courses, training you have on the schedule. You know, we have, and Carl, I forgot to also congratulate you like I did Tony Cox here from HAPCOA. I wanted to congratulate you on your maiden show here with us on Fed Talk. And we hope
yes.
you'll join us every year to get the word out. We like federal employee associations to come on our show and educate our listeners who are part of the federal community about what the associations do, so that, you know, two-way street helps the association attract new members and it helps get information out to federal employees who are interested in these kinds of issues. But we have WIFL on, you know, WIFL, Carl,
yes.
Women in Federal
yes.
Law Enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a conference also once a year.
Right.
And
exactly.
And Margie Moore is their executive director. And every year I bring her on to promote her conference. And her mm-hmm. conference is so impressive, right? And then I saw yours. And I'm always
yes.
curious, how does an association of full-time federal employees, how do you guys mm-hmm. put on something like this? The amount of work and effort that goes into planning something like this. How do you guys do it?
It's hard work. Our local chapters get together and they work hard. We also, through the help of the Drug Enforcement Administration, who actually provides sponsorship and dedicates man hours to help us in our goal to put these conferences on every year.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. And, you know, of course, your sponsor, GEICO,
right.
is one of our sponsors, so that all helps. And every day we're seeking to get more sponsorship. So that's one of the things that helps us get these conferences going and on the road.
Well, we have about 2 more minutes left, Carl, and I was wondering if you could give some of the highlights to the listeners who are out there who maybe are not members of your association but might next year want to attend the conference or join your association. Give us some of the highlights of this year's conference.
Well, of course, we through the University of Phoenix, we've had a number of leadership courses, those management, lower level management, upper management, very, very beneficial. We've had EEO officers here discussing who's at fault and who can resolve issues in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
We also had DEA come in and talk about Operation Medicine Cabinet, initiative that started up in New Jersey where DEA went in with a host of state and local agencies to pretty much go into homes and have those people who had prescription drugs in their medicine cabinets for years to help them dispose of it. And that was the number one issue in drug abuse for our youth. And that's very important. Cyberbullying, child predators on the internet. These are all topics that we discuss and we had training on this year.
Yeah. The schedule was jam-packed with everything that was current and and of course, just like with HAPCO and the other minority associations, the whole concept of training people of to enhance their own career.
And even bringing the community groups in to educate them. I mean, that's very important.
Yeah. Well, listen, Carl, next year we're going to get on top of this and we're going to have the associations on before their conferences so they can get on the air, tell people why they should come. Because we do appreciate you're there in the last day of your conference and we want to congratulate you on that.
And I'm at the tail end. I'm losing my voice here, and I'm just having a great time. I might be tired, but I'm having a great time.
Well, you sound like you're having a great time. And again, we want to thank you for joining our show, we look forward to having you back on next year. Thank you, Carl.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. And we do need to take the final break of our show and hear from our sponsor. You're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now, a word from our good friends at GEICO, where you could save 15% on car insurance. By now, you've no doubt seen those car insurance commercials with the talking gecko on TV. He's always talking about how people could save 15% or more switching to GEICO. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal in and of itself. But get this, if you're an employee of the federal government, you may be eligible to save even more than that. That's something the Gecko didn't mention in all those commercials. And you've probably heard many times about how many people have switched to Geico. Millions. But what you might not know is how many people stay with Geico once they've switched. In fact, on average, Geico customers who are federal employees have stayed with the company for over 20 years. Now that's customer satisfaction. Sound like a good deal to you? Then just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or go online to geico.com and find out how much you could save.
Welcome back to Fed Talk. I'm Deborah Roth, and I'm with Tony Cox, who is a special agent with NCIS, but he's also the national vice president for HAPCOA. You just heard from Carl Calder, who's the president of the National Association of Black Narcotic Agents. He's at the association's national annual conference down in Houston. We want to thank Carl again for joining us. And, you know, it is an it is a show of federal employee minority associations, but there's no coincidence here that they're both law enforcement associations. And so I thought it would be good to since it's their law enforcement agencies, to bring in a final guest, also named Tony.
It's a good name.
Good name. And have him tell us a little bit about the product that he has available to law enforcement, because whenever we have law enforcement associations on, I think it's always good to remind members about the product that Tony Vernetti has. Good morning, Tony. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Tony Vernetti.
Good morning, Tony.
Yeah. Hey, Tony. How are you doing, buddy?
Okay, let's just kick Deborah to the side and make it the Tony.
Exactly. It's TNT.
Yeah, it's T.
Dynamite.
Actually, before we
T-squared.
Get into the liability insurance, I've been listening to this show, and just a quick comment on sort of diversity in law enforcement and diversity in the federal workplace. You know, a lot of people have misconceptions about that. They think it just means like, hey, we're going to give this job to somebody because, you know, they're Hispanic, they're Latino. We're going to give this job because they're African-American. Just hand over jobs and not think about qualifications and things like that. And nothing could be further from the truth. Being a former attorney at a federal law enforcement agency myself, and struggling and dealing with these issues of diversity and how do we create a good diverse workplace, because that's what's going to get the job done. It's really about awareness. You know, historically, you know, minorities have struggled in some of these, what I would say, law enforcement related position, because historically there's been many, many obstacles there. And what agencies mm-hmm. are trying to do is really reach out and educate the minority community and provide more awareness, you know, that, hey, these jobs are available. You know, traditionally minorities weren't looking that way because there were so many obstacles. So I certainly applaud, you know, the work that HEPCOA is doing. And the other association you have on, I want to call it Noble, but I know it's not.
NAPNA.
Okay. You know, and everyone, I think, is doing it. You know, and the federal government, too, as a model employer, I think is doing a really good work in doing the education.
And, you know, they need to do it, though. You know, one thing I've learned having enough of these shows is they need to do it through their partners, these associations.
Right,
because
right.
these guys actually have the reach out into the communities. And Tony Cox had brought with him one of his colleagues who does recruitment for a federal agency, you know, recruiting minorities. And it struck me that we really need to do a show on that, because it's really difficult to, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, you know, oh, we're recruiters, but to actually get out there into, you know, small towns and communities and get the word about mm-hmm. what federal agencies, what federal jobs, mm-hmm. and as you said,
colleges, universities.
Yeah, and also educating
schools.
People that these jobs that you traditionally thought were unavailable to you
right.
are truly available.
But, you know, hey, these obstacles aren't there. And they look and they see people like Tony, you know, and they'll see his colleagues there. And then they show up at these job fairs, you know, and while it's, you know, it's hard to do, you know, it's hard, you know, we all got day jobs, but it's, you know, it's really getting out there, leading by example and letting these people, you know, see you, whether it's in uniform or not, to make them really appreciate, you know, there's a whole other set of careers out there in law enforcement that are available to them.
Now, Tony, we had you, Tony Vernetti, we invited you on the show because you're president of Federal Employee Defense Services, mm-hmm. and I like to have you on whenever we have law enforcement associations, federal law enforcement associations on our show. We had NABNA call in down from their conference. We have HEPCOA here in the studio. What is it that Federal Employee Defense Services offers the federal law enforcement community?
So it's a liability insurance product that helps law enforcement officers essentially in three ways. It helps protect against civil lawsuits. A lot of people don't realize that federal law enforcement officers can be sued, what we call personally, Bivens actions, constitutional torts. You don't have absolute immunity for personal capacity lawsuits like you do for lawsuits under the Federal Tort Claims Act. So the insurance provides an indemnity protection, $1 million or $2 million for that. More importantly, it provides an attorney to defend in that personal capacity lawsuit in the event that DOJ exercises, Department of Justice exercises its discretion to decline representation.
It happens rarely,
but it does happen.
It's rare.
The other two, quickly, I think of it in three separate categories. The first is what I call your pocketbook civil protection, which I just talked about. And the other is administrative and disciplinary matters. This involves, you know, any internal affairs, any management investigation, IG investigation, congressional investigation, somebody files a whistleblower complaint against you. As a law enforcement officer, you carry increased and special powers. You have more authority than other federal employees in the federal workplace. And what comes along with increased federal authority is more scrutiny. I used to always, you know, Debbie knows this from back when I was practicing law with her, I used to always joke, you know, that law enforcement tend to get in more trouble because they had the three toys. And it's the gun, the badge, and the car. You know, but
which most federal employees don't have access to.
Right, right.
And each one of those, he calls them toys, but they're each one of those properties come with enormous power and consequences.
Absolutely. And what comes with that, you know, when somebody, you know, if a member of the public, another colleague, another supervisor, somebody files a complaint against the law enforcement officers, agencies take that seriously and they investigate it.
Yeah.
If nothing else, to clear the agent. So the liability policy provides legal fees to defend in that sort of administrative investigation, and in the unfortunate event that there is a disciplinary action taken against the agent for something that they did on, you know, while they're rendering a professional service on the job, we will defend both at the agency level and to any administrative tribunal they have authorization to go to, such as the Merit Systems Protection Board. The third area of coverage is what we call criminal coverage. And Tony, you know this, there's very little a federal employee can do wrong in the federal government and not also have it be a violation of Title 18, which is the criminal code.
Mm-hmm. Starting with time and attendance fraud, which NCIS does a lot of.
I mean, the best example I like to give, because everybody remembers, you know, the Martha Stewart trial. You know, in that case, there was a Secret Service agent that testified against her. Department of Justice felt that agent perjured himself in his testimony. They turned around after the case and prosecuted him for perjury. He had one of these liability insurance policy, was able to get quality legal defense, and eventually got acquitted. It's very inexpensive. The best part of it is the agency. The agency is required to pay up to one half of the cost. So, like our base policy, the $1 million limit only costs $270.
But they pay, I want to clarify to our listeners, the agencies are only required to pay half the cost for certain categories of federal employees.
Right, and one of those categories are federal law enforcement officers.
Right.
The other categories are managers and supervisors. And there's different authorities for intelligence officers and FAA employees and such. But by and large, most...
Federal law enforcement, which is our show.
Anybody in a law enforcement position is by and large eligible to have one half paid. So at the end of the day, it costs $135. You know, Tony, if you look down at Debbie's shoes right now, I assure you that they cost more than $135.
They did not. I got them on sale.
Well, Tony, I can tell you this from a personal experience. I was sued, I would like to add, wrongly, but as you and Deborah are both attorneys, you know that sometimes you don't have to have the correct facts in order to sue someone. So there was many sleepless nights involved, but eventually it was resolved in my favor. So definitely agree with what you're saying.
By and large, I mean, it's rare that you're going to be sued personally, and DOJ will decline rep. It happens frequently if you're being... You know, if you're being investigated for misconduct for the very same reason you're being sued.
Right.
You know, you think of Waco, think of Ruby Ridge, think of Alien Gonzalez cases.
Right.
You know, the big cases. And
in those cases, if you're under investigation by an arm of the government who's looking into what you did, and at the same time you're sued privately, like in Waco or Ruby Ridge, those are those rare instances where DOJ will decline and they'll declare a conflict of interest. We're investigating you on the one hand, you know, we're in conflict to defend you in a civil suit on the other.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people will ask frequently, you know, if the percentages are that low, less than 5%, you know, what do I need the insurance for? For $135 a year, why would you risk being the one that slips through the cracks?
Right. And of course, Tony Cox, you know, he sort of feels that, right? You know, he felt that when he was sued personally. Tony Vernetti, thank you very much for coming on the show. We want to thank you for giving that information out to those who are listening, because I'm sure we've got lots of people listening. We do appreciate that information. And I know Tony Cox wants to finish up with a little bit about some HAPCOA initiatives. We have about a minute left, and there's just a couple other points he wants to get out to those people who are listening.
Okay, real quickly, I know Carl brought up his organization's, some of the programs they're doing. I just real quickly wanted to tell your listeners that at HAPCOA, we provide scholarships for high school students that are pursuing criminal justice studies. We've assisted the elderly by purchasing fans during the summer months. School supply drives for low-income families in the San Antonio area. We've sponsored individual training sessions for law enforcement, and we've also partnered with universities and colleges to provide other educational opportunities. And in closing, as HAPCOA is a nonprofit organization, I would just like to thank and commend some of our major sponsors, which are Motorola, Verizon, American Military University, and Anheuser-Busch.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Tony Vernetti. Thank you, Tony Cox. And thank you, Carl, if you're still listening to us. We loved having you on the show. We hope you'll join us next year. Best of luck.